Morning. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Yud. We find ourselves on daf Tes Amud Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud, and we're starting today with Levi, conversation between Levi and Rebbe. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Mishmas Lois Lubin Zaltzman. Let's begin. First of all, today's a day where this sefer would come in very handy. I have already gave high praise to the sefer. It's really fantastic. Tziyurim LaMaseches Yevamos, charts and graphs to help with Maseches Yevamos that came out for the last cycle of the daf Yomi. And so usually they update things and then every time you learn a more difficult Masechta, like when we get to Chulin next time, the pictures, I can't even imagine the next sefer that's going to come out for Chulin. The Sfarim they already have for Chulin are fantastic in terms of the color pictures and so forth and so on. So here, this sefer, it's been around now for, let's say, 8 years. It's really fantastic. It's just a great way to diagram and chart some of the cases. Somehow I've managed so far in this Masechta to have gone without the sefer for the most part. But today it's really indispensable, so I highly recommend it. If you want to see where I'm going to start today, in the sefer, page 45. Okay, and obviously I'll give a description as well. So if you don't have the sefer, that should be fine. Okay, in the Gemara itself, now we are starting on the bottom of the Amud. But really, what we did, aside from not finishing yesterday's daf, aside from that, what we have done is really we are going to move ahead in the Gemara now to not a new topic, not a new subject. It's the same subject. But what we are going to do, however, is leave the world of Esi Dochalosa, say the positive commandment, overriding a negative prohibition that has been the preoccupation of the Gemara now since Daf Gimel in the days, where the Gemara entertained two questions, Esi Dochalosa, say, and Esi Dochalosa, say, Sheish Bo Kares. And then for a week of Daf, well, we would, in Daf terminology, for a week, then the Gemara went into a lengthy discussion of these concepts, these principles, and sources, and proofs, and disproofs, and it was a lengthy discussion within the Gemara. In Daf Yomi terminology, I don't think we have seen or ever seen a Gemara dedicate itself so much to so extensively to such a topic. But understandably, it's a big idea that a positive commandment is going to override negative prohibition. Good. So and with yesterday's last words of the Gemara that I read, that really ends the Gemara's discussion on this topic. And okay, we move on. So Amalei Levi LeRabbi. So the conversation over here is between Levi and Rabbi. Rabbi, of course, over here being a reference to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is the editor of the Mishnayos. I say editor, right? Not the author of the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos existed before Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. There's much evidence to that. But what he did is he edited it, meaning that he looked over all the Mishnayos and he organized and compiled and editor. He was the editor of the Mishnayos. And so he wasn't the only one who was putting down together a compilation of what we now call Mishnah. Mishnah is obviously, and we're looking in the rearview mirror, we call it Mishnayos. But he wasn't the only one that was doing that. Others were doing it as well, notably Levi. Levi also put together a list of what now we would call Braisas. Okay, by the way, the terminology we use, Mishnah and Braisa, we've gone over this many times before, but just quickly to reiterate, so the Mishnayos that we learn, obviously, those are the standard, meaning that whenever now the Gemara spends its time discussing and commenting, so it's on the Mishnayos. What about the Braisas? Braisas existed, but they were not part of the corpus of what we would call Torah Shabbat Peh. In fact, the word Braisas comes from the word Bara. Bara means outside, meaning they're not considered the internal underpinnings of Torah Shabbat Peh, but they're the Bara, they're outside. Okay, not rejected by any stretch of the imagination, but not as authoritative as the Mishnah. Mishnah versus the Braisa, the Mishnah usually will win. The Gemara has another comment elsewhere, don't ask me where the Gemara says that truth of the matter is that Rabbi Chia, who was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who we generally ascribe as being the author of the Braisas, so Rabbi Chia got everything from Rabbi anyway. And so generally speaking, you're going to find agreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa, because the Braisas generally ascribe to Rabbi Chia, and he is going to follow the footsteps of his Rabbi. We are now discussing not Rabbi Chia, and not Rabbi Yoshia, who's also considered a editor of another work. Rabbi Yoshia's work is generally referred to as the Tosefta, which, by the way, is compiled into chapters and is published in every Gemara. In the back of the Gemara, you're going to see the Tosefta. But what we're going to now do is we're going to learn Levi. Now, Levi...
Did they do it after Rabbi, or at the same time?
I knew you were going to be interested in this topic. which is good. We've been together a long time now. I knew you're going to be interested in this topic. I don't know. Historically, when De Graaf won the chart, I don't know. They were all students of Rebbe, so one can only surmise that Rebbe was the first one. But I don't know. Right. To what degree were they competing? Well, we're going to get a small taste of like the behind the scenes in terms of, because Levi's going to show displeasure with the fact that Rebbe Yehuda Anasi in our mission only had 15 women. Levi's going to say you missed one, and you're going to see Rebbe's reaction, and you could just hear from the reaction that no, I put my mission together. I know what I'm doing. Like, you know, you'll see. You'll see Rebbe's reaction to Levi's suggestion. It's going to be interesting. Okay, Levi obviously also in that same time period, obviously they're dialoguing, Rebbe and Levi, and so here we go. I'm a Levi. So Levi says to Rebbe, my ear did need to stop listening to Zion. So here's the question of the day. 15, meaning our Mishnah has a list of 15. Now again, in make it into our first Mishnah in the Masechta, what has to happen? Number one, it has to be a scenario where your brother could marry that Erva, meaning that this woman is an Erva to you, but not an Erva to your brother. The woman can, so that your brother could marry this Erva, brother dies, and now she falls in front of you for the mitzvah of Yibum. And because she's an Erva, she's going to be Pater. Again, Pater, I'm using the wording of the Mishnah. She's going to be Aser, and the co-wives are going to be Aser, and good. That was the Mishnah from day one. So, and 15 women fit into this criteria, as we outlined already back in the Mishnah. So what Levi wants to know, Rebbe, is, you know, Rebbe, 15, I can add one more woman to the list. So, Amalei, so now we don't know who the mystery woman is yet, in terms of which Erva would qualify as the 16th woman of the Mishnah. But before Rebbe even hears a suggestion, Amalei, Kimadumali, Shein Lamach, Bekat Kado, it seems like he doesn't have a brain in his skull. Okay, now he's speaking to Levi, and I know it's sharp. It's a sharp way to converse and engage with one another. So how does he speak so sharply? So first of all, they were sharper, meaning they just, especially in learning, right? Learning is not just, you know, it was everything. Learning is everything. So for them, this is obviously a major issue. And for Rebbe to hear that there's another one added, so Rebbe, you understand this is not the first time they're having this conversation. And when the Gemara is putting it down here on paper, it's not like they've had this conversation before, and it's like, you know, two old friends, colleagues, and Rebbe says to Levi, I know what you want to do, I know what you want to add, and I'm not going to agree with you. And here we now get into the discussion of who is the 16th woman, and why is Rebbe objecting? So my daitach, ima nusas aviv, ima nusas aviv, I'm sorry, ima nusas aviv. So what do you want to add? You want to add ima nusas aviv, right? The Rebbe says to Levi, meaning I know which woman you want to add. You want to add a mother that was the result of anusa zaviv, that was raped by the father. Now, we're going to say the word rape because that's a literal translation of anusa. Okay, relations out of wedlock. That's a technicality. But anyway, the point is as follows. Again, we have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Shimon is going to marry Reuven's mother. Okay, and obviously they're not sharing the same mother, because then obviously Shimon wouldn't be able to marry her. And this woman was violated by the father. Let's call the father Yaakov. We're always going to call the father Yaakov. That's just simply the construct. So, and in this scenario, what then would happen was is that if Shimon dies, so Reuven now is being introduced to his mother as a Yavama. Now, obviously, she is an Erva. So that would be a good. So that would be an Erva that seemingly should have made it into the Mishnah. So Rebbe says to Levi, you know why I'm not adding that in the Mishnah? Meaning, you're correct that theoretically could be in the Mishnah, but Imo Anusas Aviv plukta de Rebbe Yehuda v'Rabbana. The Gemara says this is Rebbe's response, but you know that's a machlokas. Meaning, is a man allowed to marry a woman that his father violated? Now, a woman that is a wife of his father, that's called Eshes Av. Eshes Av is one of the arayos of the Torah. Even if it's not your mother, but if it's your father's wife, she's an erva. And even upon death or divorce, she's always going to be an erva. Again, the rule is, once an erva, always an erva. There's the exception of achus ishto, but outside of that, she's going to be she would be an erva to both Reuven and Shimon. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about anusas aviv. Anusas aviv means the father violated this woman. They had a child out of wedlock. The child is Reuven. Shimon marries her. Can Shimon marry this woman? Machlokas. It's not the first time we saw this machlokas in the Masechta. This is now the second time we're seeing this machlokas. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says to Levi, the reason why I didn't incorporate this case into the Mishnah is very simple. Because I want 15 women who are arayos unquestionably. And this is not an unquestionable erva, meaning obviously Reuven's mother is an erva to Reuven. That's not the issue. The issue is Shimon allowed to marry this woman? That's a machlokas. Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And so Rabbi says, I want our Mishnah to be machlokas free. I want all the cases in the Mishnah to be not subject to any machlokas. The Gemara is going to make that point also. Later on, we're going to see that in the Gemara.
Why would it say that
the onus? Oh no! First of all, no, that's not perfectly accurate. The Bito in the Mishnah is coming through onus.
The first case
in the Mishnah. It's Bito me anusa so. The daughter. Okay. All right. Well, the Gemara is going to make that point later as well, meaning that we're going to have to also come up with a case of co-wife. And,
but not her herself.
No, but okay. So, uvapukta lokamairi, that's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, that's why I'm not adding her into the Mishnah, because that's subject to a machlokas. Machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, let's just go over this machlokas. We've seen this machlokas before, but let's say it over again. This takes us all the way back to Daf Dalet in the Masechta, right, almost a week ago now. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda says that one is not allowed to marry a woman who one's father violated. Anusas aviv. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says it's a nis in the Torah. Now, when I say it's a nis in the Torah, it's not an erva. It's not an achrimos, it's not an kedoshim, it's not an erva, but the Torah prohibits it. Where does the Torah prohibit it? Parshas Kiseid say. Lo yigala knaf aviv. One is not allowed to reveal the corner of his father. What's that a reference to? So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that's a reference to a man not being able to marry a woman that had relations with his father. That's knaf aviv. That's the corner of the father. The Torah speaks in a very clean language. And the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, no, that's not what the Pasuk means over there. The Chachamim gave a different interpretation to the Pasuk. And according to the Chachamim, there is no prohibition in the Torah for a man to marry a woman that slept with his father. Fine. And so, therefore, to get to this case, one would, A, have to subscribe to the Chachamim's viewpoint, because according to the Chachamim, Shimon can, in fact, marry this woman, but Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't agree. Rabbi Yehuda would say that Shimon can't marry this woman. It's an issur in the Torah.
It's a mom,
huh?
It's not. It's a mom, illegitimate.
No. Well, the simple answer is no, it's not. The offspring is not going to be a mamzer. And later on, I'll qualify that statement later on, but the answer is no. Not a mamzer. Uvapukta lo kamairi. So the Gemara says, and our Mishnah is not dealing with a machlokas. Good. That is Rebbe's first approach to Levi. That's why it's not in the Mishnah. V'lova reyes the mitzvah v'esur kedusha depligi Rebbe kiv v'rabbanim v'ktanim v'pirkin. So the Gemara says, now slow down. Right? This is Levi responding back to Rebbe. I don't understand. Later in the Mishnah, we're going to learn that, let's say, our first Mishnah that we've been dealing with is describing a scenario where an erva is being introduced to the brother as a candidate for Yibum. And because she's an Erva, so there's no mitzvah of Yibum. What if the candidate is not an Erva, but she's a Lav? The Torah prohibits her from marrying her Yavam, her brother-in-law. For example, let's say the Yavam is a Mamzer. Or let's say, grammatically correct, a Mamzeris. I understand, then Shimon should never have married her. Understood. Okay, but
there's no card for that, or
a host of other cases, and well, you'll see in just a moment. Let me a moment to explain. So then, under those circumstances, so the Mishnah deals with that scenario. Now, let's just Let's give a simple case study. Where let's say Shimon married a woman who the Torah told him Torah says you're not allowed to marry. A lav. And by the way, there's also what's called Kedusha. Kedusha is called Shnius. Let's wait. Well, we have 2 weeks to go before we see what Shnius are. Chaf Aleph, it's coming up. Let's wait out. Let's hold off on the Shnius. As that is a complex Gemara, but we can wait. We can wait on that. Let's just get the basic point of the Gemara. So if the woman in question is a lav, is a negative prohibition to the Yavam, so is that going to exempt her from the mitzvah of Yibum? The answer is no. An erva, an Isser Kares, exempts the mitzvah of Yibum. But not if she's a lav. If she is a lav, there's still going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. On the other hand, the Chachamim said, now slow down. Meaning Shimon already violated a prohibition by marrying her. But Reuven, you don't have to. Why not? Because there's something called Chalitza. So we'll learn later on in the Masechta that what Reuven's supposed to do is perform the mitzvah of Chalitza to remove the Zika, to remove the bond that exists between the brother-in-law and the sister-in-law. Fine. Now, what the Gemara points out, this is Levi's point, retort back to Rebbe. Rebbe, you don't want to include in our Mishnah Imon Usasaviv because you want to stay away from Machlokas. You want the Mishnah to be Machlokas free. Did you know that the case of Lav is also Machlokas? The Gemara points out. Gemara just simply says, the Pligi Rebbe Kiva Rabbanan, it's Machlokas Jun Rebbe Kiva in the Chachamim. Okay, we're going to see this again and again. Let's familiarize ourselves with this Machlokas. The Chachamim say, what makes a mamzer? So the Chachamim says that if the man and woman are prohibited to one another through a kares prohibition, meaning an erva, then and only then the product of that union is going to be a mamzer. But if the Torah prohibits it, but it's not an erva, so for example, mamzer is not a good example, but let's say a kohen marries a grusha. Okay, the child's a mamzer? No. Child's not a mamzer. If it's a lav or anything below a lav, so the child is not going to be a mamzer. That's a chachamim's position, and that's the accepted position. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says that any time the Torah prohibits the union of a man and a woman, the child is going to be a mamzer. Now, that also means that there's no tfisas kedushin, which means that the marriage actually never takes place. Meaning they may go through the ceremony of marriage, and you may go through all the... You'll present it like a marriage, but according to Rabbi Kiva, it's not a marriage. It's no tefisas kedushin. Kedushin doesn't take hold.
So illegitimate would be Rabbi Kiva.
According to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva then is going to have a much broader definition of what a mamzer is. Correct. That's absolutely correct. And so what the Gemara now points out is that there's a Mishnah later on that describes where the Yavama, where the sister-in-law, is a lav. And the Mishnah later on says, so therefore, you know what the Yavam has to do? Has to do Chalitza. According to Rabbi Akiva, no. The Yavam's not going to do Chalitza. The Yavam's not going to do anything. Because there's no Zika. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, a Lav is tantamount to an Erva. So, Levi says back to Rabbi, how can you argue, Rabbi, that our Mishnayos are Machlokas free when we're going to steal the Mishnah later on, which clearly is taking a position on what is, where there's a mitzvah of Yibam and where there's not. And that's machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, and the Mishnah later on is taking the Chachamim's position, not Rabbi Kiva's position. So you are arguing that the Mishnayos are machlokas free, and meanwhile they're not. Fine. So the Gemara says, Pluk to the Rabbi Huda Rabbanan, Pluk to the Kamar Velova, Hare Isra Mitzvah Vistar Kedusha, the Pligi Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan, Vikatani, and yet it's found in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, point taken, but we're talking about our parak. In our parak, in the first parak of Yavamos, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the first parak of Yavamos, he wanted that to be machlokas free. So the Gemara says, okay, you want to stay in our parak? Fine. Go to the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, where the Mishnah there is going to describe how Rabbi Kiva and how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had a major debate in terms of the co-wives. Now, we know that the co-wives are also exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum if she's a co-wife of an Erva. That was taught to us in the first Mishnah. That's Beis Hillel's position. Beis Shammai doesn't agree. And because Beis Shammai doesn't agree, that means that according to Beis Shammai, the Sarah, the co-wife of an Erva, has a mitzvah of Yibum. So, and that's in our parak. And the Mishnah's pointed out. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in the first paragraph of Yavamos wants to stay machlokas free? It's not machlokas free. There's a machlokas coming up on Daf Yigimel, which is the first paragraph of Yavamos. So the Gemara says, "V'abeishamay materin sasos la'achin or beisel osrim beishamay b'malkam beisel ain a Mishnah." So the Gemara says, "Beishamay and beisel, that's not a machlokas. Beishamay's position is simply not regarded." Okay, this idea presents itself in the Gemara a number of times, and the idea of that we, the Jewish people, so subscribe to Shitas Beis Hillel that Beis Shammai's position is eino Mishnah, it's not considered a Mishnah. So in other words, you're right. Of course that's a Machlokas, but it's one that we won't even put in the category of Machlokas. Why that should be, could be that it has to do with the Bas Kol. We're going to see the Bas Kol come up later on in Daf Yud Gimel. A quick discussion of the Bas Kol. Okay, for whatever the reason is, we fall like Beis Hillel. Gemara says, "V'harei eish esachir shalo haya ba'olamo depligi Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan v'katani." So the Gemara says, "Okay, our Mishnah is machlokas free. That's not true. Even the first Mishnah in Yavamos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph has one of the cases. In fact, the second to last case, which is eish esachir shalo haya ba'olamo, brothers who are not on the earth together." Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, but Levi is born much later in life. So in other words, you have Reuben and Shimon. Reuben dies, and now Shimon has a mitzvah of Yibum. But before Shimon does the mitzvah of Yibum, so their parents had another child. And this third child is Levi, and he and Reuben never lived in the world together, so there is no mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, towards Levi, this woman is going to be Eishesach with no mitzvah of Yibum, otherwise known as an Erevo, and therefore is going to be prohibited. What if, I just presented the Mishnah in its simplicity. What if, let me paint the picture just a little bit differently. Let's say, start off with Reuben and Shimon. Reuben is married, Reuben dies childless, and leaves the widow for Shimon. Shimon marries her. And after Shimon marries her, then Levi is born. And then Shimon dies. So now, does Levi have a mitzvah of Yibum, yes or no? Machlokas. That case is a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to see that in the Mishnah spelled out and later on. In the meantime, however, our Mishnah talks about such a case, and that case is subject to a machlokas. So, question, again, Levi says to Rabbi, how can you tell me that our Mishnah is machlokas free when the 14th case in our Mishnah is the case of Eishesach Hishaloyah Bolamo? And meanwhile, that's subject to a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. The Katani, and it's in the Mishnah. We're on the top of Testament base, we're on the very top line, but no, the Sof Yavon, no Palig, Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, in the second scenario that I just painted, you're right. It's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. But there is a point of agreement between the two, meaning in the first scenario that I painted, where Reuben and Shimon are our brothers. Reuven dies. Shimon, before Shimon does the mitzvah of Yibum, Levi is born. So now Levi is born into a Zika of a brother that he did not live in the same world with. There's no machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim in such a scenario. So we're really painting the corners, if you will, if you like the baseball reference. But in other words, in such a scenario, there is no machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi feels justified in including that case in the Mishnah. You're right. There is another scenario where there is a machlokas, but in that scenario of Nola to the Sof Yavam, there's no machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that's why I include in the Mishnah. The Hama Rabbi Yoshia Chalukaya Rabbi Shimon Af Rishona. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're going to see later on in the Masechta Daf Chav Ches that line of thought that we just presented, that the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon do not argue in a scenario of Nola L'Vasof Yavam, that's not agreed to by everybody. Notably, Rabbi Yoshia says that Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim argue in both scenarios. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, our Mishnah now is subject to Machlokas. And again, Rabbi's defense is our Mishnah is Machlokas free. According to Rabbi Yoshia, that's not true. So the Gemara says very simply, Ha'osusiv Rabbi Yoshia. The Gemara says, okay, well, a little foreshadowing for the Gemara later on. Rabbi Yoshia does take that position. Rav Oshia's position is rejected. So in other words, there is a point of agreement between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon in the 14th case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Bolamo, and therefore that's why it's in the Mishnah. Good. So v'amarav Yehuda amarav v'chein t'ni Rabbi Chia. So then the Gemara goes on, the Gemara says, okay, and let's all breathe before we start the next Gemara. The Gemara now is going to make a what would seem to be another point in defense of Levi, that there should be an additional, and that is based on the following. First, I'm going to read the. I'm just going to read the line of the Gemara, and then we'll give some sort of explanation. Rabbi Yudah Marav says, and Rabbi Chia also corroborates this with a brice as well, and Rabbi Chia's brice, I know, historically came earlier, but the point is still basically going to be the same. In every one of the cases in our Mishnah, I can apply the following statement. Azur l'zeh muter l'zeh, prohibited to one is permissible to the other, and what's prohibited to the other is permissible to the one. I'll explain momentarily. And they are sisters, which affords each brother the opportunity either to do chalitza or yibum. Okay. Good? Great. Okay, let's do some explaining. We have some explaining that we need to do. Okay. The Gemara over here is making reference to the following. Later on, we're going to learn in the Mishnayos, in the third perek, the following scenario. Okay. As it is, Yibum already is going to Yibum deals with complex family situations. We've seen that time and again. As we move in, as we progress through the Masechta, we're going to see even more intricate family scenarios. Notably, we're going to discuss later on a scenario in which you have four brothers, and the four brothers married. Of the four brothers, Reuben and Shimon married. Reuben and Shimon died. And these two women are left now to the two surviving brothers. Okay. Under normal circumstances, one will do Yibam to one, and the other will do Yibam to the other. But now, that's easy, meaning that's obvious. Well, now let's get to the more complex scenarios. And that would be, let's say, that these women present themselves as arayos to the two surviving brothers. And then let's make it even a little bit more complicated. Let's say that these two women present themselves as one being an erva to one of the surviving brothers and one being an erva to the other surviving brother. Okay? And let's now make it even just a little bit more complicated, and that is that these two women happen to also be sisters. Okay. So, is it possible to construct a case where I have four brothers marrying now two sisters? Okay, that's what the Gemara means when it says v'achos eshi yevimto, right? The two widows are sisters. And is it possible to construct a scenario where these two sisters, where one of them is going to be an erva to one of the surviving brothers, and one is going to be an erva to the other surviving brother? Not only is the answer going to be yes, we can construct a scenario, but the Gemara points out, and this is what Rabbi Chia taught in a braisa, I can construct this scenario for any one of the 15 arayos that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So we can construct a scenario where these sisters are both going to be prohibited through bito, basbino, bas ishto, any one of the 15 scenarios. And you're probably wondering to yourself, this Rashi on Testament Base looks extensive. It looks very long. Yeah, sure it is. Because what Rashi does over there is he actually constructs every scenario. So what we're going to do today is we're going to skip. But at least you now know what we're skipping. We're going to skip today all of Rashi and all of Rashi's descriptions of how to construct. If you have the Sefer of Tziurim, so you can see every one of these cases, he does a monumental job in terms of outlining all these different scenarios of how it would be possible to have two sisters who are widows, who are now candidates for Yibum for the two surviving brothers, and one is going to be a daughter to one surviving brother, and the other one is going to be a daughter to the other surviving brother. Okay, all this can be seen inside. Here's the point, however, which we're going to focus on, because I just want, right now, the basic point of the Gemara. And that is the following. That the Gemara's, based on Rabbi Chiya's Braisa, because every one of our 15 cases in the Mishnah can subscribe to this kind of construct of two surviving brothers who have now two Yavamas, two sister-in-laws, who also happen to be sisters and can be constructed in any one of the 15, because, let's give names. Let's say the two surviving brothers, Yehuda and Levi. Levi and Yehuda, either way. And now for Levi, one of the Yavamas is his daughter. Good. When I say good, I mean she now is precluded to him because she's an erva to him. Therefore, he's a full-fledged candidate for the other Yavama. Same thing is to be said about Levi. If one of these was the daughter of Levi, if the other one was the daughter of Levi, so then she will be precluded to Levi, and then she will be permissible for Yibum for Yehuda. Wonderful. And now, with all that stated, meaning all we did is just set ourselves up with the construct, so the Gemara says as follows.
And these are sisters.
Huh? And these are sisters. Correct. It's obviously complicated how they can both be sisters and at the same time each one be a daughter to others. But obviously, correct. Okay, we're in the world of dysfunctional families. And then the Gemara points out the Rav Yehuda mitar game, and then a question of which cases in our Mishnah can actually be candidates for this kind of construct. So the Gemara rattles off three opinions. Rav Yehuda mitargim mechamos ve'elach. But Rav Yehuda says this would only work from the case of chamoso. Chamoso starts number 7. So in other words, not the first 6. Avashisa bavi dereisha lo ma'itamikem debito ba'onsu mishkachala b'nesun lo mishkachala b'nesun kamari ba'onsu lo kamari. The only way to construct these cases for cases 1 through 6 is only by employing anusa. And Rav Yehuda says that he would like to assume that our Mishnah is not dealing with a scenario of anusa. Abaye mitar game avbito me anusa so kem deshkuch mishkachala ibay min aonsin tahavi ibay min asun tahavi. And Abaye says no. This construct of 4 and 2 can work in any one of the cases in the Mishnah. You're right. Cases 1 through 6 can only be constructed through an anusa, but okay, that's fine. It can be constructed. But the 14th case of two brothers who never share the world together, so that cannot be formed in such a situation. My time came into Rabbi Shimon, he did Mishkachala, Rabban la Mishkachala, Biplukta lo Kamairi. Because I can only construct a case for Rabbi Shimon, I cannot construct a case for the Chachamim. Hold. Rav Safra Matagim Afa Eshes Achim Shalom Yabalamo, O Mishkachala Bishisa Achim, Va'ali Bid Rabbi Shimon. And Rav Safra says, no, I can even put together, construct a case of Eshes Achim Shalom Yabalamo, and the case would be constructed using 6 brothers, and it would subscribe to the position of Rabbi Shimon, v'simancha, and just a way of remembering in your mind how this case would work, meis nolad v'yabam, meis nolad v'yabam. The Gemara gives just not even a brief, but just a mnemonic to help us remember how the case can possibly be constructed. Okay, now here I'm going to do some more skipping, and please forgive me, but basically, what bothers the Gemara now is as follows. We have now had a statement by Rabbi Yehuda Merav and a statement by Rabbi Chiya that our Mishnah any one of the cases in our Mishnah can be formed into this construct case of 4 and 2. Two of the four brothers marrying 2 sisters. The 2 brothers die. And these now become candidates for Yibum, and the conclusion is going to be, number 1, that they're sisters, and number 2, that one is an erva to 1 surviving brother, and the other is an erva to the other surviving brother, which then affords the other brother to do the mitzvah of either Yibam or Chalitza, obviously preferably Yibam, not Chalitza. And, okay, here's the punchline. And I skipped a lot to get to this punchline. And here's the punchline. But the only way to do that is to put our Mishnah in the category of Rabbi Shimon, not the Chachamim. To which now that belies the point of Rebbe. Because Rebbe said, do you know the only cases that make it into our Mishnah are which cases? Only non-controversial cases. But now, putting everything I just said together, you realize that the case of Eish HaTzach of Shalal Rabbi Abalamo will only work according to Rabbi Shimon in order to get to the construct of 4 and 2. And that's what bothers the Gemara, to which now the Gemara turns its attention to Rebbe and says, okay, Rebbe, so now that you've agreed, which in a moment he'll say I don't, but now that you agreed that you only want non-controversial cases in the Mishnah, but now the 14th case of the Mishnah, if it's going to be created into that construct of 4 and 2, can only be going like Rebbe Shimon and not like the Chachamim. So what do you do with all that? That's the Gemara's question. Okay, so please, I'm going to give you a lot of homework for today. Meaning, see the diagram book. I'm sure in the art school he also does a fantastic job explaining. See for a description of how you can get to the construct of 4 and 2 in every one of the cases. I mean, if you're really adventurous, go through Rashi and see Rashi over there. And also see how the case can be constructed for Eish HaTzach of Shalal Ba'alamo, where it can also be created into this construct of 4 and 2. Either way, the basic question hopefully I articulated, our Mishnah would only then work for Rabbi Shimon and not for the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. You wanted to remain controversy free in our first Mishnah.
Why do you have the 4 and 2 case to prove?
Well, because without the 4 and 2 case, Rabbi could say, and not only could he say, he did say, look, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim do disagree, but there is a scenario where they agree. And I, in the Mishnah, am including that case because I'm looking at the scenario where they agree and not where they disagree. But now, once you put the construct of 4 and 2 into every one of the cases of the Mishnah, which Rabbi Chiya says that you have to do that, because the Mishnah later on gives the construct, and Rabbi Chiya insists that any one of the 15 of our Mishnah can be put into that construct, the only way it could be put into the construct is according to Rabbi Shimon and not according to the Chachamim. Okay. So,
in the diagram thing that you mentioned, there's kind of a thing that half sister also, because it were like sisters, because women have sisters.
Yes, the answer is yes. I mean, obviously, the only way these cases can be put together is by taking sisters and brothers who are not full brothers and sisters. Okay.
The first six is not honest, only the first three are honest.
I'll tell you what. Come to me after, and we'll go over this afterwards. That's the Gemara's question. So the answer the Gemara gives is a very simple one. Ela Rabbi Hani Klali Leislei. So the answer the Gemara diffuses the whole question by simply saying that Rabbi doesn't subscribe to this viewpoint. Which viewpoint? That you have to take every one of our cases in the Mishnah and place it into the construct of 4 and 2. Rabbi doesn't subscribe to that whole line of thinking. And so therefore, Rabbi says, I'm sticking to my guns. The first Mishnah in Yevamos is controversy-free, and even in case number 14, Eish HaTzach of Shalal Ba'alamo, there's a point of agreement between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, and because there's a point of agreement, so therefore that also is controversy-free. And I am not confining myself, Rabbi says, to this idea that every one of the first 15 cases has to be placed into the 4 and 2 construct. Good. The Gemara now is going to give a couple of other possible solutions to the. Not yet. Rav Adar Karchina Kamei Rav Kahana Amar Mishmei De Rav Alah Olam Yisrael Rabbi Hani Klali. So the Gemara says, look, maybe it's not true. Maybe Rabbi does subscribe to these viewpoints. And by the way, remember what I said earlier? That when Rabbi Chiya says something, generally speaking, Rabbi Chiya says it because he got it from Rabbi. And so what the Gemara now is advancing is that, no, maybe Rebbe does agree that every one of the cases of our Mishnah can be placed into the 4-2 construct. And the Gemara says, and do you know why Imo Anusas Aviv is not included in our Mishnah? Meaning, basically, a new a new answer to the original question. The original question is, why not 16? Why only 15? Okay. And which case did you want to add into the Mishnah? Imonus es aviv, where Shimon married the woman violated by Shimon's father, which is obviously Reuven's father as well. To Reuven, that's his mother. To Shimon, she's mutter. So why wasn't that case included in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. I'll tell you why. It wasn't added to that case because, remember now, in our new approach, we're saying that Rebbe does agree with Rebbe Chia that every one of the cases of our Mishnah can be placed into the construct of 4 and 2. Four brothers, two of them died, leaving widows who happen to be sisters who are going to fall to the two surviving brothers. One's an heir to one and one's the heir to the other. Why isn't that case in our Mishnah? I'll tell you why. Because you cannot come up with a scenario in which these two surviving women are going to be both erva, and specifically which erva? Imo anusas aviv, and, or the erva of Imo, if you want to say it simply, and on top of that, also being sisters. That can't be. Yaakov beisachayos anas, because if Yaakov, we're not describing the father, if Yaakov violated two sisters, achos de sheyevento mishkachala, so for sure the two widows are sisters, but asur lazem utelazel mishkachala. But then the idea that one is going to be permitted to one and prohibited to the other, well, that can't be, because, and this is as complex as the Gemara was, this one's easy to figure out. Because if they're sisters, so as much as a man can't marry his mother, can't marry his mother's sister as well. She's an erva. So it just simply will not, we cannot find a scenario in which the two widows are sisters and one prohibited to one and permitted to the other, surviving brother. And ve'i beis nachrios anos, and if Yaakov violated two women who were nachrios, meaning they were not sisters, hasul zem utel zem mishkachala, so yes, it's possible to construct a scenario in which one is an erva to one surviving brother and one is an erva to the other surviving brother, and they would be allowed to do the mitzvah of yibum to the other woman, but obviously then they're not sisters. And again, we want to construct a scenario in which both of these criteria are met, that both asur lazem utel lazem and that they're sisters, and just simply, it will not fit into that construct, both of those criteria. That's another reason, another possible reason why Rebbe did not include that in our Mishnah. Rav Ashi amar lo olam leisa l'Rebbe haniklale, uvepluktu kamayri, or Rav Ashi gives another possibility. Really, the truth of the matter is, Rebbe does not hold of these klalim. Rebbe, in other words, Rebbe doesn't subscribe to this whole thought process that every one of our cases in the Mishnah has to fit into the construct of 4 and 2. And Rebbe's okay with a little bit of machlokas. That doesn't bother him as well. Oh my, and if that's true, Rav Ashi says, so then what was Rebbe's sharp response to Levi? Where Rebbe says to Levi, oh, 16th case, Anusas Aviv, who happens to be your mother? And Rebbe says to Levi, Kemeduma li, seems to me, Shein lo moch bekat kado. Why? My time of deakta masnisin. So what Rebbe says to Levi is, look, you got to read the Mishnayos. Meaning, if you read the Mishnayos and read them carefully, you'll see why I didn't include that in the list. Because the masnisin Rebbe Yehudi, because you look carefully at the Mishnayos in the first parak of Yevamos, and you realize that I'm subscribing to the thought process of Rebbe Yehuda. The Aser Banusas Aviv, who says that it's once prohibited from marrying a woman violated by one's father. How do I know that? Very simple. Diktani, because look at the next Mishnah, which we're going to get to in a few short days from now. Sheish arayos chamoros me'elu. There are 6 arayos that are more stringent. Because they're married to others. I'll explain in just a moment. Saruseyem mutaros. And therefore their co-wives are mutter. Meaning, in our Mishnah, by the 15 arayos, what makes our Mishnah one category? Because in every one of the cases of our Mishnah, it's possible for this woman to marry one brother and yet be an erva to the other brother. That's our Mishnah. That's the 15. In the next Mishnah, we're going to describe six women who it would be equally impossible for each of the brothers to marry this woman. And so therefore, when the brother dies, this Erva obviously will not be the co-wife to anyone else. Meaning, the brother may take her in, it may look like a wife, but it's not. Because as much as she's an Erva to you, she's an Erva to the brother. As a simple example, Imo, one's mother. One's mother is prohibited to you, and is prohibited to your brother as well. Now, even if it's not your brother's mother, but still, if it's your mother, what does that mean? As far as your brother's concerned, even if you're not sharing the same mother, it means that she's Eishes Aviv. It means that she's the wife of your father. So she is an Erva to you, and she's an Erva to your brother. So there simply will not be a scenario in which Reuven's going to die, and Shimon is going to be presented with a Yibum scenario if we're talking about his mother. And look at the Mishnah. We don't have to turn the page. We can just look right now. Imo, Eishes Aviv, V'Achos Aviv. And three examples. There are six altogether. Now the Mishnah, by the way, just to clarify, the Mishnah says Chamuros. They're more stringent. That term over there, stringent, meaning, don't take it literally. The Arayos mentioned on Daf Yud Gimel are no more Arayos than the ones mentioned on Daf Beis. It just used the term Chamuros because it would be equally impossible for this woman to marry either one of the brothers. That's why they're more chamuras. But look at the three examples that we see over here. There are six in total. Imo, Eishes Aviv, and Achos Aviv. One's mother, the wife of one's father, and the sister of one's father. So you see these three candidates can't marry either Reuven or Shimon. But here, notice carefully. My Imo, it says mother. So, Elam and Asuas Aviv, if we're talking about one that was married to your father, Hainu Eishes Aviv. Well, that's already covered in case number two. Elav Anusas Aviv. So it must be when the Mishnah later on says Imo, it's talking about your mother, one's mother, but not married to the father, merely violated by the father. In context, you understand. So the Ketani, Min Mishain Asuas Acherim. So Lacherim and Lachen Lo. And the reason why they're never going to present themselves as a Yibum is because they're never going to be married to your brother. Well, why are they never going to be married to your brother? That's Rebbe says to Levi. Now you understand? They're never going to be married to your brother because your brother's not allowed to marry her. Why? Because the Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says that a man may not marry not only Eishes Aviv, which is a pasuk in the Torah, but a Nusas Aviv as well, which according to Rebbe Yehuda, is also a pasuk in the Torah, just happens to be in Parshas Ki Tsetse, that's Lo Yigaleh Kanaf Aviv. So, what Rebbe, the reprimand that Rebbe is giving to Levi is, look through the Mishnah and you will see that clearly the Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rebbe Yehuda and not that of the Chachamim. And why didn't I include that in the first Mishnah? Because our Mishnahs are going like Rebbe Yehuda. Now, let's just do a little bit more for today. For this morning, I should say. Who subscribes to that viewpoint? That's why it's not included. Okay. So, big question of the day. Question starts on the bottom of Tesamad Aleph. Why don't we add a 16th case in our Mishnah? And that is Imo Anusas Aviv, where the surviving brother is presented as a candidate for Yibum, his mother, whose father never married, and his brother did marry. So, a number of answers. To summarize, either Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't want to get involved in the Machlokas when compiling the Mishnayos. Or, number two, and how do I summarize this? Number two, maybe Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't include it because it just doesn't fit into the construct of 4 and 2. I'll just leave it at that. Okay, and then if you don't understand that, just play the tape again. And then, or number three, a third possible answer is because if you look at all the Mishnayos in our Perek, you will see that our Mishnayos is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why it's not included in the Mishnah. Okay, I kind of will stop over here.